Gabe Miller here, and I want to personally thank you for checking out our podcast. And I also want to encourage you to click the subscribe button so that each week's message will automatically show up in your feed. Another great way to stay connected with us is on our website at yourimpactchurch.com and on all of our social media outlets at Your Impact Church. I hope this message today encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you. Let's jump into the message.
It's a standalone message that I felt like the Lord put on my heart. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading in the Bible, and came across, anybody have one of those Bibles where when you're reading something, you know, it has the footnotes, or it has little, maybe you have a study Bible, or maybe you have something like, I have several because I like referring to different ones at different times, but where there's these little boxes in there, you know, and it's like maybe a story that goes along with that, or maybe somebody's testimony that goes along with that. And I was reading through some of those things, just reading in the Word, and I came across something that I felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me to speak to you on. It's a specific topic, and I've titled the message, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes on this topic, processing pain. Processing pain. Anybody ever experienced pain before? And I'm not necessarily talking about physical pain, although that is a real thing. I know there are some of you even in the room today that physical pain is a real thing for you, maybe a constant thing for you. But really what I want to talk to you about today is I want to talk to you about pain on the inside. I want to talk to you about if we could say this, maybe soul pain, maybe pain that comes up from time to time, or when something is maybe triggered in your life, or things like that. And some of the other words that the Bible uses that go right along with pain, as I was looking some of this up, and we can put these on the screen: distress, suffering, toil, anguish, troubled, and sorrows. And so maybe if you think, you know, it's like, well, pain, I don't really know. Like maybe you would say, okay, yeah, distress, yep, I get it. Or anguish, okay, I've been there. Maybe you're there right now. Sorrow, feeling troubled on the inside. Maybe some suffering, some things that are going on in your life that you feel like, man, I just feel like I'm just in this place of suffering right now. The reality for some of us today is that we can relate in real time to what I'm about to talk to you about. That there are maybe many of us in the room. I really feel like I'm on an assignment today. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what you need out of this message. I don't know what's going to resonate with you. There's even going to come a point in this message where I just want to read some scripture over you, over us. Because I think that there are many of us that we're just dealing with pain. There's distress. There's anguish. There's toil. It's like this, maybe you feel like there's just this war going on inside of you. Some of us would probably even say, like Job said, this is in Job chapter 6. Look at these verses. He says, if my misery could be weighed and my troubles be put on the scales, they would outweigh all the sands of the sea. And I think sometimes, you ever felt like that? Maybe you feel that way right now, and you kind of feel like, you're like, man, if what I'm feeling on the inside could be weighed, and my troubles and everything that's going on inside of me could be put on scales, it would weigh more than the sands on the seashore. You know, it's like that moment where God takes Abraham and he says, try to count the stars and try to, you know, like look at the sand, and that's how great your descendants, how many descendants will come from you. And some of us would say that about how we're feeling on the inside. It's like, man, if you could weigh what's going on in the inside of me, it would weigh more than you could ever imagine. Maybe you feel like the psalmist who said this in Psalm 69:29, I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Anybody ever just been laying in bed and this is just going on inside of you? Or maybe something's happening in your life, something's happening in your family. Maybe you're just dealing with something and you're laying in bed, or you wake up in the morning thinking about it, and your prayer is like, rescue me by your saving power. I mean, you're just crying out to God, God, please, please help me. Help me through this. Help me process through this. And so the question that I've really been wrestling with in writing this sermon is this question: how do I process pain? How do I process pain? So Jesus said, that in this life you will have trouble. So there are going to be things that are going to happen that are going to cause some distress and cause, you know, I mean, you children, your spouse, friends, illness, sickness, like all of these things, like there are going to be things that happen that cause us trouble. And Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. Come on, I just came to tell somebody today, take heart, because I've already overcome the world. So all of the things that are causing this in your life, Jesus has already overcome it. And so I think that's a great place for us to start, is to remember that everything that I'm walking through, everything that I'm feeling on the inside, maybe right now, or if it, maybe you don't feel this right now, I would just encourage you to just stick this in your back pocket today. And maybe there may come a point in your life where you need to refer back to this message and be encouraged. And so I want to give you 3 points today, but my points are going to be in the form of questions about pain or suffering or sorrows or troubles. I'm going to use the primary word I'm going to use is pain today as we go through the message. But you can remember we're talking about distress and toil and anguish and all these things that go on inside of us. So here's the first point, or the first question is, what causes pain? What causes pain? Which would seem kind of obvious. It's like, well, I kind of think I know some things that cause pain. I want to mention a few, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but I do feel like this is the list that the Lord put on my heart for today, and I think that maybe there's a reason for that. What causes pain? Here's the first thing. I think Satan causes pain. Here's what the Bible says about Satan. You're probably familiar with this verse, 1 Peter 5:8. He says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Jesus, you know, we read the verse last week in the Easter message, John 10:10, where Jesus even talked about the thief. And he said, the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. It's painful things, taking things away, killing what's on the inside of you. Right? Like things that don't feel good. One writer said this. He said, Satan's activity causes pain because his purpose is to get you to sin. His goal is to trick you into thinking that sin will relieve your pain. But just the opposite happens. Falling prey to Satan's attacks and lies or giving in to his temptations will always cause you pain. Have you ever had a lie from Satan that caused you pain? You ever believed a lie and it led you to this place of anguish and distress and sorrow and troubled on the inside? Not just troubled on the outside. I'm not even necessarily talking about things that are going on the outside around us. I'm talking about what's going on inside of you. Have you ever paid attention to what's going on inside of you? Like, there are some things that go on inside of us that we have to process and we have to deal with and work through. There's an instance in Scripture where Jesus heals a woman who couldn't stand up straight, and after the healing, someone got upset with Jesus, and then this is how the story goes from that point. It's in Luke chapter 13. It says, but the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day, which every time I read something like that in the Scripture, I think, how crazy do you have to be to see somebody get healed and be like, that was on the wrong day, that was done the wrong way, that, you know, it's like, yeah, that even rhymed. I didn't even mean for that to rhyme, but maybe you'll remember it. He says he was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. In other words, stay home today, come back on Monday, and you can get your healing. Right? We'll have a line formed on Monday. But the Lord replied, you hypocrites. Each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, and look at this phrase, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she should be released even on the Sabbath? And Jesus is making the point. He says, Satan has had this woman bound up for 18 years. And you're worried about the day of the week. And isn't it right for the Lord to set her free and release her from this, even if it's on a day that you don't think it needs to be on? Even if it's in a way, I think that's some of us here today. I think there's some of us here today that you feel like you're just, you're troubled on the inside. And I think if you were to be honest, the cry of your heart would be, I wish the Lord would set me free from this. I wish that he would take this away. I wish that he would heal this. I wish that he would do something in this situation. It was Satan who was keeping this woman in bondage, and she needed to be freed. And maybe Satan has been keeping you bound, and you might need to be freed. Maybe you're bound to a certain lifestyle. You feel like you can't, every time you try, you feel like you can't get out, or you're bound to, come on, this is a big one, you're bound to a thought pattern. Have you ever thought about how our thoughts, our thought patterns can be like, we're bound to a thought pattern? You just keep thinking the same way. And you know, and here's the thing, and many of us, we know I shouldn't be thinking this way, but I have developed this thought pattern, and I'm bound to this thought pattern, and I can't change it. And I wish that God would just set me free from this thought pattern. I believe that Satan will also attack us at times to try to get us to give up. I believe that with all my heart. I think I was even thinking about our family, but also extended family as well. And man, I really believe that we have experienced attacks of the enemy to try to get us to give up. I really do. That sometimes, anybody ever been in a season where it was like one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing, and as soon as you think you've processed through one thing, something else happens, and now it's like, and you feel like it's just piling on you? I think that the enemy tries to, like, he'll try to keep putting things on us to cause us to give up, to throw in the towel. Maybe you've felt or experienced this same thing in your life, and so we know that Satan is someone who causes pain. His work, the things that he's doing, can cause pain in our lives. What else causes pain? I think other people can cause pain. When I think about other people causing pain, I think about Judas. You ever just stopped and thought about Judas? I know, like, last week was Easter, and a lot of times, like, you'll read, and I like to read an Easter devotional leading up to Easter every single year. Maybe it's Lent. Maybe it's, you know, some kind of Holy Week devotional, something like that. And a lot of times they'll talk about Judas and how, I mean, but really think about it, how Jesus washed his feet and how Jesus loved him and how Jesus, you know, like, and he knew what was going to happen. And so when I think about other people causing pain, I think about Judas. Jesus even said this. This is in Matthew 26. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, the words of Jesus, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? He replied, one of you has just eaten from this bowl with me, will betray me. So Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed by somebody closest to him. And you've got to believe, Jesus was fully God and fully human, so you've got to believe that Jesus knew what it felt like to have somebody else causing pain. That there's something going on inside of me because of the decisions of somebody else or what somebody else has done to me or whatever the case might be. So Jesus understands it, and betrayal is painful, and maybe you've experienced that in your life. I don't know if you have or not. Chances are that every single one of us have been betrayed at some point, and it's been painful. Maybe somebody turned their back on you, and you've been carrying that struggle around. Somebody that, you know, you thought would never leave you, they turned their back on you, and you've been carrying that around for a while. Maybe someone treated you wrong. Listen, and unforgiveness has taken root in your heart. And you live in pain and anguish and suffering because you have unforgiveness and bitterness that's taken root in your heart. And it's going on inside of you. And it's a real thing that's going on inside of you. And it's caused by something that happened or maybe something that somebody else did that may have even been out of your control, that you couldn't control. But it's causing this in your life. Maybe someone did something to you as a child and you've carried that sorrow and that distress and that pain around for years. Maybe you're 40 years old now, and for the last 30 years, you just can't let go of what happened to you when you were 10. And so this is going on inside of you. And how do you process that? What do you do with that? Right? Other people can cause pain. Maybe the person causing you pain is yourself, because you haven't forgiven yourself for what you did. I've had conversations with people that they believed that God had forgiven them, but they couldn't forgive themselves. I can't let go of what I did. I can't forgive myself for what I did. And whether we realize it or not, that's causing something inside of us. It's causing something. Something's going on inside when we hold on to that. So other people cause pain. What else causes pain? Here's another one. Sin causes pain. I think that some of us are going through what we're going through because there's sin in our lives. Can we just be real today? Some of us are going through what we're going through because there's some kind of sin cycle or some kind of sin in our lives. And I think back to the first sin in the Bible, in Adam and Eve, you know, they believe the enemy's lie, they sin. And then this is what it says in Genesis chapter 3, 16 through 19. Then he said to the woman, this is God, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. But by the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." So sin brought pain and suffering and sorrow and struggle into the world. And I don't know if you know this or not, but sin is still bringing pain and struggle and sorrow and distress into our lives. When we're living in a place of sin, when we're struggling with some kind of sin, when we have some kind of hidden sin in our lives, it's causing turmoil. It's causing distress. It's causing pain. And I was even thinking about it for a moment, even just this last week. And maybe you can think of a time in your life when you had sin in your life and it was bringing anguish and suffering, and it was something you were bringing on yourself because you knew you had this sin in your life. And I was even thinking about in my life and in our marriage and things like that. And just for me personally, I can think back on times when, even in our marriage, when there were things in my life that were causing the distress. They were causing the suffering. They were causing the pain. Even growing up, you think about it. If there's ever been a time when you've been dealing with sin, and here's the reality. Like, nobody can sit in here today and be like, you know, I've never sinned. Never really dealt with sin, never struggled with sin, never, you know, one pastor, I've said this before, but he made this statement. He asked the congregation, he said, "Have you ever sinned and thought that it was fun?" And everybody was just like you right now. Like, I don't know if I can say. And he said, "The reality is, if sin was not fun, you weren't doing it right. But it's only fun for a season. It's only fun for a time. Sin always, listen to me, always causes pain. Every time. You're not exempt. You're sitting here day and you're just like, well, you know, I've kind of got this thing going on in my life right now, and I really haven't seen it causing any pain." Oh, it will. Yeah. It'll cause pain for you, and it's going to cause pain for the people around you, and it's something that we need to process and we need to deal with. Yeah. Anybody uncomfortable yet? Sin in our life will cause pain. It'll cause suffering. It'll cause distress. The psalmist said this, Psalm 32, 1 through 4. He said, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat." I think for some of us, we can relate. You feel like your body is wasting away because of what's inside of you. And you wish you could stop, but you haven't yet. You live life groaning on the inside. Your strength feels like it has evaporated. And maybe, just maybe, it's because there's a hidden sin in your life. I love what David prayed when he said, search me. Search me. And if there's anything in me that is offensive to you, if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you, if there's anything in me, he's talking to the Lord. He said, if there's anything in me, show me. Show me. Search me and know me. And whatever it is that's in me that you show me, I'll deal with that. Like, we'll deal with that. We'll take care of that. Sin always has a way of bringing painful consequences into our lives. I think just a couple of other things. Maybe there are things in your life that you've been avoiding that are causing pain and distress. Things that you need to deal with. Conversations you need to have. I think circumstances can obviously cause pain. Maybe you find yourself in a circumstance right now that you wouldn't have wished for anybody, that you didn't even cause, but you find yourself in this place right now, and it's causing turmoil and it's causing distress in our lives. And I feel like even when we think about sin in our lives, I feel like the Lord said that there are some of us here today that the first step is going to be to confess our sin, to begin to walk out of the pain and the suffering and the trouble and the distress, or you fill in the blank, that you've been causing yourself and others around you because of what's inside of you. And you've been covering it up, and you've been, well, nobody knows, and you'd be, well, nobody may know right now, but it's eating you alive. Here's what I would say, and then I'll go on to the next point. In the garden, when Adam and Eve are standing there, and the enemy comes in, you know, he slithers in, and he's trying to get them to sin, to disobey God. And what does he say? He's convincing them that if you do this, it's actually not really going to do what God said it's going to do. If you do this, you're actually really going to enjoy it. And it's not even going to hurt anybody around you. In fact, you're actually going to become like God. Now, I'm not saying that you know, the enemy right now is trying to convince you that whatever sin you have in your life, that like you're going to become like God because if you do these things. My point is that the enemy is sneaky. And he'll try to convince us that it's not that big of a deal. And that it's really not hurting anybody. And that it really doesn't make a difference. And so you really don't have to do anything about it. And I would submit to you that actually what's happening on the inside is you're wasting away and your life is groaning on the inside. You feel like strength has evaporated, all because you're just not dealing with this. You're not dealing with the issue. You're not dealing with what's going on inside of you and what habit you find yourself in. And so the first question was, what causes pain? Here's point number two today, the second question. So important. Where is God in my pain? Where is God in my pain? Have you ever walked through something that was extremely difficult and you wondered where God was? You ever been in, like maybe you're there right now, and you feel like, I don't know where God is. Anybody ever been walking through something and you had good days? And then you had really bad days, and on the bad days, it was like, where is God in the middle of what I'm feeling and what I'm dealing with and what's going on inside of me? Just a couple of personal examples as I was preparing this and thinking through this. Many of you know, I mean, it's no mystery. But my wife, she's struggled with a lot of health things in her body, health issues for quite a while now. And, there have been times where we have looked at each other and I have wondered and even said it out loud. I'm like, where is God right now? Like, where is God in the midst of this pain? And deep down, and here's the thing, and I don't think that some of you are like, oh my gosh, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that God can handle our questions. In fact, I think God wants us to bring him our questions. Because, and I'm going to tell you a story in just a minute that I think proves this point, because I think he wants to show us where he is. And he wants to remind us, I know you're feeling that right now, but here I am. Here I am. And so we've had conversations where, I mean, it's like, I don't get it. I don't get it, you know? And it's like, you ever asked the question, or you were thinking, you were like, I know God can do something about this. I know that he can. So where is God in the middle of the pain? And then this last week, I was reminded through another pastor. It was actually a message I was listening to. And he made this statement. He said, when we see God doing something, he's doing something. And when we don't see God doing something, he's doing something.
That's right.
And it was like in a moment where I'm battling thoughts, I'm reminded that when I see God doing something, he's doing something. And when I don't see God doing something, he's doing something. And it also reminded me of the song Waymaker. Anybody remember the song Waymaker? We haven't sang it in a little bit here, but the line, the bridge of that song, even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. God is always working. When I see that he's doing something, he's doing something. And when I can't see what God's doing, oh, he's still doing something. When it doesn't feel like God's doing something, he's still doing something. He's still doing something. I was thinking about the song that we sang this morning, and I knew what songs I had seen the list, but I had not connected the dots until we were in the middle of that song, Defender, the last song that we did. And the bridge of that song says, when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me, and you reintroduced me to your love. When I thought, anybody ever felt like you just lost yourself because of what's going on inside of you? The pain and the distress and the anguish and what you're walking through and what you're dealing with, on the inside, you just felt like you were, like you had lost you. And I was even standing down here, and I was thinking, I have had times where I just felt like I have lost me. But I'm so encouraged to know that God knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly, like, if you want to say where I left myself, or where, you know, like where this all started or whatever, God knows. God knows where we are. I want to read this. I don't have this in my notes because I just got this right during worship. So I'll read it from my phone. But this is in Psalm 73, starting in verse 25. He says, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. And I saw that scripture this morning, and it was such an encouragement to me, and I thought maybe that would be an encouragement to somebody else who is here today. Another thing that is no surprise to you, but my, or it might be to some of you, I don't know, but my dad has even been going through some health things again. And about this time last year, January through March, he had brain surgery, had a tumor removed, had melanoma removed, and I won't go into all the story, but he's been going through a lot of tests right now and different things like that, starting treatments and all of this stuff that he's beginning to walk out now for where the doctors, and I say where the doctors are saying that that this is spread to multiple places in his body. And man, just this, I knew when I was preparing this message that it was for me just as much as it was for you. this even this last week or the week before, and we were having a conversation, and I just remember thinking, and I said it to her. It was just that same thought. It was like, man, where is God right now? Where is God right now? And I know where God is. But do you ever just, like, you just walk through something, or like you get punched in the gut by something, and you're just like, where is God right now? You know? And you start asking this question, where is God in my pain? And this was the story I was going to tell you, that I know that God sees us, and he knows exactly where we are, and he has a way of working everything out.
That's right.
This last week, so we had, I think it was on Monday when we were talking about this. And the next day, we ended up in the room, in a room, with another pastor that is, I don't know, a couple hours from here. And he had no idea what was going on with our family or anything going on in our lives. And he said, he started telling all these stories. Just started sharing all these stories. He's like, man, this is what I've seen God do. And my goodness, like, I just went up and I just prayed for this person. And it was like, we're watching healing happen and miracles happen and all these things happen. And we left, and I don't know how long we were standing there talking to them. It was a long time. And we left that conversation, and we got in the truck, and I told her, I said, that conversation was no accident. Like, we thought, you know, we were there for a purpose, and we were, but there was an even greater purpose that God had in store, and he used this person to remind us and to remind me that he's more than able. That he really is more than able. And just stirred faith again, just stirred all of this stuff in my heart again. And I wanted to share those personal examples, because I want to remind you that God sees you. And even over the last just couple of weeks, how God has seen us, and God has seen our extended family, and how he's been orchestrating things and sending people and all these different things. God sees you. He sees your pain. He sees your struggle. And he's right there with you. And I love the story of Joseph. This is in Genesis 37 through 50. I would encourage you, many of you have probably read it, but just go read the entire story of Joseph. Genesis 37 all the way through 50. But there's one instance that always stands out to me, because Joseph has been thrown into a pit. Joseph has been sold into slavery. Joseph has been purchased by Potiphar. And he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And then there's a verse that's such a great reminder for us today. This is in Genesis 39, verse 2, and it says this: the Lord was with Joseph. But he was thrown into a pit, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was sold into slavery, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was purchased by Potiphar, and the Lord was with Joseph. And if you go on and you read the rest of that story, he ends up in prison for something he didn't even do, and the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar has a dream. The Lord gives him the interpretation of the dream. The Lord was with Joseph. Everywhere that Joseph went, the Lord was with Joseph. Even in the middle of the struggle, he was with him. Where was God when he was in the pit? He was with him. Where was God when he was sold into slavery? He was with him. When he ended up in Potiphar's home, he was with him. When he was thrown into prison, he was with him. Where is God when you're in a struggle or in sorrow or in anguish or in suffering or in distress or in pain? He's with you. Listen, if you're going through something right now, God is with you. God is with you. Where is God in the middle of what I'm going through right now? Oh, he's right there with you. He's right there with you. If you're struggling in your marriage, God's with you. If you're overcoming an addiction, God's with you. If you're walking through sickness or disease, God's with you. Yeah. If you're struggling with what to do in a situation, God's with you. If you're going through the hardest thing that you've ever been through in your entire life, can I just tell you that God is with you? He's with you. Where is God when I'm experiencing pain in my life? He's with me. He's with me. He's right there in it. There have been, man, there have been times when I've stood on this stage and preached a message and just struggling with things that were going on in family and struggling with things that were going on in people's lives and things like that. And then I'll walk off and I'm like, man, how did I even do that? It's because God was with me. It's because he was with me. And I just want to tell you, and worship team, you can come back because I'm about to wrap this up. If you are struggling with wondering where God is with what you're walking through, I just want to tell you, he's with you. He's with you. When it was talked about Jesus coming, it says, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Jesus was not just here in the flesh then, but he sent his Holy Spirit. And we went through this whole series where he said, it's for your good that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to live in you. And one of his names is Comforter. What are the things that he does is comfort. He's our helper. He's our advocate. He's our comforter. And so where is God in the middle of pain? And when you're processing pain, things that are going on in your life, he's with you. And then here's my last point and the last question that I want to end with is, what do I do with my pain? What do I do with my pain? Very simply put, the best thing that every one of us can do is to give our pain, our distress, our anguish, our struggle to the Lord. What do I do with my pain? I give it to God. What do I do with this distress that's going on inside of me right now? I give it to God. I'm not meant to carry it. I give it to God. I think I had this example a while back, but many of us are, and I'm going to read this verse in just a moment, but many of us are carrying around weight that we were never intended to carry. And it's like going to the gym and grabbing the dumbbells, the heaviest ones you can get, and just walking around with them, feeling like there's nowhere to put them. I can't. What do I do with this? I feel like I'm just carrying this around. And there was actually a rack that was designed to hold that weight so that you didn't have to hold it. And God can carry the things and heal the things and mend the things and restore the things that we're carrying around. And we're wondering, what do I do with this? What do I do with this distress? What do I do with what's happening in my life? What do I do with this pain that I'm experiencing? What do I do with this? If we can say it this way, you rack it. You give it to God. You give it to God. And I just want to, this is how I felt led to end today, is I just want to read these verses over you today. And this may be for one person in the room. And if it's for one person in the room, then I've done my job. But I want to read these over you today. And I just want you to be encouraged by what God's word says. If you're in some kind of turmoil, you're in some kind of distress, you've got something going on the inside of you that you're not sure what to do with, let me read these to you today. Psalm chapter 10, verse 17. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. Psalm 31:7. I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. Psalm 34:17-18. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 69:16, answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. And I just want to say this, God's character of unfailing love and plentiful mercy, it's like medicine for your pain. It's like if you had a cut, it's like putting ointment on. It's like, God, your unfailing love and your mercy, I know that you see me right now. I know that you know exactly what I'm going through right now. Psalm 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Come on, isn't that good news? Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Here's a good one, James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. 1 Peter 5:10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Can I just tell you today that God is able to restore, God is able to support, God is able to strengthen, and God is able to place you on a firm foundation. And I think that it happens whenever what do I do with my distress? What do I do with my pain? What do I do with what I'm walking through right now? What do I do with what's going on in my family's lives? What do I do? What do I do with it? What do I do with it? When you give it to God, when you give it to the Lord, knowing that he sees everything that you're walking through. He knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's not caught off guard by how you're feeling. I love the way that one person put it. God is never surprised by anything. There's never been a moment where God's been like, oh my me. I didn't see that coming. I didn't even know you were dealing with that. I didn't know that was going on in your life. I didn't know that somebody had told you that. I didn't know that somebody had hurt you. I didn't know that that was going on in your heart. I didn't know, like, that's never happened to God. He knows. So here's the question I want to ask you. If he knows, why do we try to keep it from him? Why do we want to carry it around when we can give it to the one who can actually heal it, do something with it, restore it, strengthen us, like when we give it to him? When we stop carrying around the weight and we give it to him. What do I do? What do I do with my pain, with my suffering, with whatever I'm walking through? We give it to God. And so I'll have you stand. If you'll go ahead and stand. I know this has been a little bit different today, but man, I just felt like I was on an assignment, even for one person. So what do we need to do? What do you need to do? I just want to read just a few things, and then we're going to pray. In fact, the prayer team, you can go ahead and come down and get ready, because I want us to have this opportunity to receive prayer today. What do we need to do? I just want to encourage you with a few things. Maybe something that's going on inside of you. If you know, listen, if you know you need to forgive someone, forgive them. And I really feel like that's for somebody here today. Because you know you need to. And you know that that's the thing that's causing all this turmoil and distress and anguish and pain inside of you, like this soul pain inside of you, is because you don't feel like you can let it go. You don't feel like you can just move past it. You don't feel like you can forgive. If you need to forgive somebody, listen, forgive them. Free yourself from that. If you need to forgive yourself, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. If you know that the Lord has forgiven you, why wouldn't you forgive you? Forgive yourself. If you know that you need to confess a sin in your life, listen. Confess it. I know this sounds so simple. If I know I need to forgive somebody, I just need to forgive them. If I know I need to confess something in my life, I need to confess it. If you know you're struggling to resist the enemy in your life, get some people around you who can help you. I'm struggling to resist the enemy. I'm struggling to resist this temptation. I'm struggling in this area of my life, and it's causing pain in my life, and I know it is. Get some people around you who can help you. Get some people around you who can help you. And if you're going through a difficult time in your life right now, remember that God is with you and that he's more than able. God's with you. Where is God in how I'm feeling and what I'm going through? Where is God in my pain? He's with me. He's with me. What do I need to do? What do I do with what I'm feeling? You give it to him because he's with you. And he sees it, and he can take it, and he can heal it, and he can mend it, and he can restore it. And he says, if you're brokenhearted today, God's close to the brokenhearted. want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.
In just a moment, I want to pray for you and give you the invitation to come and receive prayer. And here's what I want to say.
And I'll just do this. I want to do this. Because I think there's something so powerful about responding. If you're here today and you know, like you have described me, there's something going on inside of me. Maybe I didn't say your issue or what's going on inside of you directly, but you know, man, I've got this soul pain, or I've got something that I need to do. I've got something I need to handle. I've got some conversation I need to have. I've got, like, there's something going on inside of me. There's unforgiveness, there's bitterness, anything like that. And you would just say, this message was for me, and I need to process through this pain, and I need to give it to the Lord. Will you just raise your hand right where you are? I know there's something in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, all the rest of us, come on, why don't we just all lift our hands? And I just want to pray this prayer over you. And then when the worship team begins to sing in just a moment, if you need prayer, listen, if you raised your hand, I believe that this would be a great time for you to just come down and allow somebody to agree with you, allow somebody to encourage you, allow somebody to pray over you during this time.
Before we go into this time, I want to read to you a scripture in John 11. And Pastor Gabe was talking about the fact that, you know, you question, where is the Lord? And this is when Lazarus had died. In verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus, I believe, in such a kind and loving way, just reminded her. He just said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. It goes on, and I just felt so strongly, I was to remind some of you in there, in here, even some online, what Martha couldn't see was actually in the next chapter in John 12, the story about Mary anointing Jesus' feet. Right before that verse, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus now lived. She couldn't see that was coming, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Get this, verse 2. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. You can't see what's coming. You can't see what's next. But we can choose to believe that even in the middle of the in-between, regardless of what we're looking at, that God is there and he's working. There's someone in here and you're struggling with feeling like the Lord is mad at you, because even as Pastor Gabe talked about the sin in your life, you get uncomfortable and moving in your seat, and God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, and he wants to help you past it. He wants to help you through it and help you overcome it. And maybe you're in here and you stand here like us, and you're looking and you're hearing terrible things. God is bigger, and I'm believing like Martha that we cannot see. His dad will stand in full health, and all cancer will leave his body in Jesus' name. Even with myself, we have had moments where we wonder where God was, but God has done so much in my body that what once was just ridden and struggling so bad, I have seen victory in so many ways. You can see the same. God is a miracle working God. God is faithful and he loves you. And we get to choose what we look at. And I believe, like Martha, we may see what might look dead or done. It may be a marriage. It may not even be something physical that you need to see, like we're desiring to see for our loved one. But there are people on this stage, multiple people, that have looked at dead, terrible situations. And I guarantee you, as we sing this next song, they sing it knowing they've seen God be faithful. Right? You're up here playing guitar because God is faithful. Up here worshiping, weeping over loved ones that have ran away from the Lord that now worship Him once again because God is faithful. I said it a couple of weeks ago. My dad was in the hospital and he's up here playing bass because God is faithful. And you know what? Even when things don't look the way that we hoped they would, He's still faithful. And He'll turn it all around for His good. You can trust Him with your questions. Come on, give Him your sin today. Give Him the weights that are weighing you down today. He cares so much for you and for those things. And like Martha, what we cannot see, God already sees. And we can choose to believe when we're in the in-between. Amen. So God, we thank You for who You are today. God, I lift up each and every person under the sound of My voice, whether online or in this room, and I just declare that faith will rise. Father, I pray for courage, a holy courage to rise, to lay this sin down at Your feet once and for all. Maybe they tried before and it didn't seem to work, but I thank You, Lord, that You are bigger than any addiction. You are greater than any sin, and You died so that each and every person could live full and free lives, Father. So I thank You, Lord, even for the person under the sound of My voice, Lord, that is weighed down by worry and concern because of the situations that seem lost, the situations that seem hopeless. I thank You, Lord, that You, God, are so greater than any of that. And just like Martha didn't know she was going to be serving the table that Lazarus would be reclining at. In full health, living. I thank You, Lord, that those things that were dead will live again in Jesus' name. God, where sickness has ridden people, Lord, that there will be life and restoration to the body and full healing in Jesus' name. Where there has been mental struggle, Father, and a hopelessness, I thank You, Lord, that You are bringing clarity. You are bringing rest and ease in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, that You are still the God of miracles. And where we have struggled to believe that because of what we've seen with our eyes here in this fallen world, I pray, Lord, that You stir that within us to believe it again, that You are still the God of miracles. We thank You, Lord, that no matter what, we choose to believe. No matter what, we choose, Lord, that You, God, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You love us. And we thank You for that. For a love that we don't deserve, yet You give. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you need prayer for anything in your life, please, when the worship team begins to sing, just slip out of your seat. Come let somebody pray for you. We thank You. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would draw every person today who needs prayer for anything in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Not beginning a series or anything like that today. Today's one of those standalone messages that will just speak for itself. But I'll kind of tell you where this came from and then what the title is today. I just, over the last few weeks, last couple of weeks really, was just reading through Scripture. And does anybody have a Bible that has like little notes in it or... You know, it'll have like references or footnotes, or it might be a study Bible, or sometimes you can get a Bible that just has, in certain places, it may have like this little square or something, you know, and it's like some story or testimony or some application for a particular verse or something like that. And I came across a few things as I was just reading that, as I was reading it, the Holy Spirit just prompted me to speak on this today. And the title of the message, if you're taking notes, I just want to speak to you on this title for a few minutes, Processing Pain. Processing Pain. Anybody ever experienced pain before? And many of us would probably say, you know, maybe you're in some kind of physical pain right now or something, but I'm not necessarily talking about physical pain, although that is a part of it. I'm talking about, if we could put this term on it, soul pain. You know, like pain on the inside. And I was looking up just some other ways that the Bible
describes this word pain, or how it is translated in some things that really are kind of like synonyms to this idea. It's distress, suffering, toil, anguish, troubled, sorrows, things like that. And so maybe you relate even more to one of those words. You're like, man, I've had seasons of feeling sorrowful, or I feel like even right now I'm in distress, you know, like on the inside, not just things that are on the outside, but something going on inside of me. And I think the reality for some of us today is that we can relate in real time to these terms as we sit in this seat, or maybe you're watching online right now and you're like, man, I'm in it right now. I feel distress. I feel anguish. I feel troubled on the inside. I feel like there's suffering happening. Some of us would probably even say, like Job said, this is in Job chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. He says, if my misery could be weighed and my troubles be put on the scales, they would outweigh all the sands of the sea. And I just really felt in my spirit that as I was writing this, that there may be some of us here today that feel that way. Man, if I could weigh what's going on inside of me, you wouldn't even believe how much it weighed. It would weigh more than if you took every grain of sand on the beach and put it all on a scale. It wouldn't even compare to what I feel like is going on inside of me. Maybe you feel like the psalmist who said, I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. If I ever just laid in bed at night, or you got up in the morning and just with what was going on inside of you, the cry of your heart was like, rescue me, O God, and help me through this. Like, help me to sometimes, come on, if we're just being honest, sometimes it's help me make it through this day. Help me be able to see my situation from a different perspective, or you fill in the blank. And here's the question that I've been wrestling with as I was writing this, and that I want to present to you today, is how do I process my pain? How do I process my pain? How do I process the things that are going on inside of me that sometimes I don't even have a language to put around it? You ever felt like that? Somebody asks you what's going on, and you're like, I don't even know how to put it in words, what's going on inside of me. How do I process my pain? And so I want to give you 3 points today, but I want to give you these points in the form of questions about pain or suffering or sorrows, troubles, distress, things like that. But I'm going to primarily use the word pain, but you'll know what I'm meaning if I just say pain. It encompasses all of these things. And so as we go through the message, I just want to give you these 3 points in the form of questions. Here's the first one. What causes pain? What causes pain? What is it that maybe, if you think about what you're experiencing right now, what is it that might have caused that in your life? I believe that one of the first things that is important for us to do is to recognize what is causing the pain, or what did cause the pain or the sorrow or the suffering or things like that. What are some things that cause pain? I think this is the first one. I'll give you just a few. And this isn't an exhaustive list by any means. These are just the ones that I felt like the Lord put on my heart for today. So there are a lot of other things that cause pain, but I want to talk to you about just a few that I feel like the Lord wanted me to highlight today. I think that the first one is that Satan causes pain. Here's what the Bible says about Satan in 1 Peter. Peter wrote this. He said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Jesus, we read this verse last week, but in John 10:10, we like to focus on the part, and rightfully so, we like to focus on the part where Jesus said, my purpose is to give them life and give them life to the full, or give them abundant life. But at the beginning of that, he talks about the thief, and he says the thief comes to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. And so the enemy is attempting to steal and kill and destroy. One writer said this, and I like this. He said, Satan's activity causes pain because his purpose is to get you to sin. His goal is to trick you into thinking that sin will relieve your pain. But just the opposite happens. Falling prey to Satan's attacks and lies, or giving in to his temptations, will always cause you pain. You ever believed a lie from the enemy that caused pain, or it caused suffering, or it caused anguish or distress or just turmoil inside of you? All because, and when you traced it back, it was because I've believed a lie for the last 6 months. I've believed a lie for the last 2 years. I've believed a lie that the enemy was planting in my mind And because of that, this is all going on inside of me. There's an instance in Scripture where Jesus heals a woman. This woman couldn't stand up straight. And Jesus comes onto the scene and he heals her. And after healing her, somebody gets upset with Jesus. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 13, 14 through 16. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, look at this, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? Isn't it right? And here's, man, when I read that, here's what stood out to me. I think that there are some of us, and we talked about this last week, if you were here for one of our Easter services a little bit, about this idea of bondage and being bound up. And man, Jesus says, this woman for 18 years, Satan has had her bound. And you're going to talk about the day of the week that she got released on. He says, isn't it more important that she got released? And I think for some of us here today, there's a desire inside of you. There's something going on inside of you. And your desire today is, I want to be free. I want to be free. I don't want to struggle with this anymore. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I want to be free. You see, it was Satan who was keeping this woman bound, and she needed to be freed. And maybe Satan has been keeping you bound, and you need to be freed. Maybe you're bound in some kind of lifestyle. Or this is a big one. Maybe you're bound in a thought pattern. And the enemy has you bound in a way of thinking that is not the way that God sees your situation, and it's not the way that God would speak about your situation, but you're bound to a thought pattern, and you can't shake that thought pattern. And today, the cry of your heart is, I want to be free. I want to see differently. I want to think differently. I don't want to be bound anymore. I think that Satan also attacks us at times to try to get us to give up. I do. I think when I think about our family and I think about over the last year and a half, everything that has transpired and everything that, not just in our family, but extended family as well. And I really believe, I believe that the enemy, anybody ever felt like it was one thing after another thing, after another thing, after another thing, after another thing, and before you knew it, you felt like you were just weighed down with everything that like people that you cared about and everything that was happening in your life, and it was like, I can't, come on, and some of us have gotten to this point where you say, I can't take one more thing. I can't take one more thing. And I think the enemy tries to put that on us so that we will get to the point to where we throw in the towel and we stop trusting God. And if God was really real, then he would take care of this and God would fix this or whatever. And the enemy is lying to us. He is lying to us. And so I think that Satan causes pain. Here's another thing that causes pain. I think other people can cause pain. When I think about other people causing pain, one of the first things that come to my mind is Judas. If you're familiar with your Bible, Judas is the one Jesus knew he was going to betray him. Same Jesus who went ahead and washed his feet, let him walk alongside him and taught him and all these things for a few years. And then when push came to shove, Judas betrays Jesus and turns him over to be arrested and ultimately crucified. And God had a plan in all of that. But when I think about betrayal, when I think about other people causing pain, he's one of the first ones that come to mind. And in Matthew 26, it says, when it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? He replied, one of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. So Jesus knew, and betrayal and pain, or betrayal and somebody turning their back on you, or somebody mistreating you or whatever, it's painful. And I would venture to say that pretty much every single person in here, probably every single person in here, has experienced this, maybe even recently in your life. Maybe someone turned their back on you and you've been carrying the struggle around. Maybe someone treated you wrong and unforgiveness has taken root in your heart. Somebody did something to you. Somebody said something about you and unforgiveness has taken root in your heart. And now there's a weight on you. There's distress in you. There's anguish in you. There's toil in you. Because unforgiveness has taken root. Bitterness has taken root in your heart because of something that somebody else did. Maybe even something that was completely out of your control and you had nothing to do with, and now you're having to deal with the consequences. And it's a struggle inside of you. Maybe someone did something to you as a child and you've carried that sorrow and you've carried that distress and you've carried that pain around for years. And now you're 45. But you've been carrying something around for the last 40 years that happened to you when you were 5 years old or when you were 8 years old. And it's something that it caused pain in you, and you're still holding on to it. It's still inside of you. Maybe the person causing you pain is yourself because you haven't forgiven you. And you believe that God can forgive you, but you haven't forgiven you. And so what you're experiencing inside of you is because you need to release yourself. You need to forgive yourself. And so other people can cause pain. Here's another thing. What else can cause pain? Sin causes pain. Some of us are going through what we're going through because of sin in our lives. And when I think back to the first part of the Bible, the first sin in the Bible, Adam and Eve, they believe the enemy's lie, they sin, and here's what the Bible says in Genesis 3:16-19. And then he said to the woman, talking about God, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. But by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." And when I read this, I think about two things. One is that sin brought pain and suffering and sorrow and struggle and distress into the world. And I don't know if you know this or not, but in our lives, sin is still bringing pain and sorrow and distress and anguish into our lives. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit, as I was preparing this message, that there would be people here, that some of what you're experiencing right now is because there's something in your life. And God's not mad at you, but God loves you enough and is gracious enough to have you sit in a seat today, so that he could put me on this stage to just say to you, hey, that thing in your life that you won't let go of, or that you're hiding from people around you, it's actually causing more in you than what you realize. Yeah. And so sin, it causes pain. It causes suffering. I don't know if you can think of a time in your life when you had sin in your life, or maybe it's even right now, and you felt the anguish and the suffering and the pain and everything that brought. And as I was writing this, I can remember times in my life growing up. I can remember times even after we got married where there were things in my life. I heard a pastor say one time, and I'm not saying this is theologically correct, but he said, "There really are no marriage problems." He said, "You have single people problems, and I have single people problems, and we both got our single people problems together." And it formed a marriage problem. Because you had problems, and I had problems, and we got together, and now we have a marriage problem because we're married. But I can remember times, like in especially early on in our marriage, where things inside of me, it was causing, I mean, it was toil, it was suffering, it was distress, it was anything but the peace of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, and maybe you can relate. The psalmist, he said this. This is in Psalm 32:1-4. He says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And I think for some of us, we can relate to that. And we feel like our body is wasting away and our life is groaning on the inside and strength feels like it's evaporated because we have chosen to hide sin in our lives. And here's the thing about sin. I heard it said one time, I've shared this before, so if you've heard this, then you can just laugh again. But if you haven't heard this, this will be the first time for you. But he said, how many of you enjoy sinning? And he got that response. Everybody was like, can you, like we're at church, can you say you enjoy sinning? He said, if you didn't enjoy sin, you were doing it wrong. Because sin is fun for a moment. And then the bill comes due. It's like when you go to the restaurant and you're just like, oh, yeah, just more. Just, yeah, mm-hmm, keep it coming. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. You know? And you're not at an all-you-can-eat place. And then they bring you the check and you're like, oh, I didn't know it was going to cost that much. And for some of us in our lives right now, we're recognizing, I didn't know it was going to cost that. I didn't know that when the bill came due, it was going to look like that. And when we hide sin in our lives, it will cause pain. Not just for you, but for the people around you. It will cause turmoil. It will cause suffering. It will cause distress. Sin always has a way of bringing painful consequences into our lives. And I really felt like the Lord put it on my heart that for some of us here today, the first step is to confess our sin, to begin to walk out of the pain and out of the suffering and out of the trouble and out of the distress that you've been causing yourself and you've been causing other people around you because it's been hidden inside of you. And you need to get that out. You need to get it out. A few other things. We won't talk about these very long, but circumstances can cause pain. I mean, sometimes you just find, anybody ever just found yourself in a circumstance you didn't cause, it was just hard and it was painful. Sometimes we walk in situations like that. Maybe there are things in your life that you've been avoiding that are causing pain, causing distress. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have. Maybe it's forgiveness that needs to be offered. Maybe it's, you know, something like that. You fill in the blank. There's a lot of things that can cause pain in our lives. But here's the next question, and I'm going somewhere with this. Here's the next point today. Sometimes, and many of us have probably asked this, where is God in my pain? Where is God in my pain? I don't know if you've ever been through anything extremely difficult or felt like it was difficult. I know sometimes we look at other people's, what they're going through, and we're like, oh, that's not that big of a deal if they knew what I was going through, and everybody's pain is different. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's upbringing is different. Everybody's experiences is different. Everybody has, like, they're coming from a different place. And so I don't know if you've ever been through, and it could be extremely difficult, but it could be just something you were walking through and you wondered where God was. Anybody ever had that question? God, where are you right now in the middle of this that we're walking through or that we're dealing with or that's going on inside of me? I'm just going to be honest with you because I think it's going to help you. And many of you know, for the last, I don't know how long it's been now, but my wife has been dealing with struggles in her health and just stuff going on, and doctors can't figure out what it is. Like, well, let's try this, and it, nothing has really, and she would tell you that it's better now than it has been, that the Lord has really been doing a work in her life, and we're thankful for that. But I can remember having conversations and looking at each other and just this thought in my mind, and sometimes I would even say it. I'm like, where is God? Like, where is God right now? You know? And sometimes you struggle with, man, does God not see right now what's happening and what's going on in our lives? And so we ask this question. It's like, where is God in my pain? And then this last week, I was reminded, I was listening to a message, and this pastor made this statement, and I was reminded of this. I've heard this before, but he said, when we see God doing something, he's doing something. And when we don't see God doing something, he's doing something. And I thought, all right, Lord. When I see God doing something, he's doing something. And when I don't see God doing anything, he's still doing something. And I was reminded, anybody remember the song Waymaker? We haven't done that one here in a while, but I was reminded of the bridge. Even when I can't see it, you're working. And even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. And God is always at work. God is never caught off guard by anything. Nothing has ever caught God off guard. Nothing has ever occurred to God. No, God has never looked at your life and be like, oh, I didn't know they were going to feel that way. I didn't know they were gonna, and here's the thing, and I've said this before, but I just want to encourage you with this. God's big enough to take your questions. I think sometimes, you know, and maybe you grew up this way. I didn't necessarily grow up this way, but sometimes you just kind of fall into this thinking pattern that I can't question God. Don't question God. Don't question God. Don't question God, right? And we need to trust God. But I think sometimes God just wants to have a conversation with you. And here's the thing, he already knows you're thinking it. So why not sit down in your chair or wherever it is that you spend time with the Lord and just tell God, you already know I'm thinking this, but I'm just going to say it right now because I need you to show me that this is not right. God can take your questions. Your questions, they don't catch him off guard. I knew what the songs were for today. I knew what the list was, the set list and all of that, but I didn't connect the dots until we were in the middle of worship singing the last song, Defender. And it gets to the bridge and says, and when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me, and you reintroduced me to your love. And especially during the 9 a.m. service, I was standing down there, and I'm like, man, sometimes you just feel like, you ever just felt like you just lost you? Like you've just been walking through something difficult, you've been walking through something hard, and there's something going on in your life, and it's like, you just feel like you've lost yourself. And here's the great thing, and even what the Lord was reminding me while we were down here worshiping was that I know exactly where you are. I see exactly where you are. And you may feel like you're lost, and you may feel like you've lost yourself, but I know exactly where you left yourself. And I can put you back together, and I can build your faith, and I can do these things. And another thing just personally is about a little over a year ago, it's been about 15 months now, my dad was walking through. They found melanoma on one of his shoulders that he had removed. There was a tumor on his brain that ended up causing a seizure, and that's the only way that they found it. And then he had brain surgery, and then there was the recovery from that and everything. And then even just here recently, and some of you know this, but if you don't, like, he's been going through more testing because an x-ray showed it spreading somewhere, and then an MRI showed it in another place, and then a PET scan showed it in another place. And so he's just begun going through this process of treatment, but trusting the Lord. And throughout that, it was just this last week, I think it was about a week ago, maybe something like that, we were having this conversation. Is this okay? Is this helping anybody? Y'all recognize that I'm just a human being up here and not, you know, This is just my calling. But I'm also called to help you, and hopefully this is helping you. But man, we were sitting there and just looking at each other, and I was like, I'm just like, where's God right now? You know? And here's the crazy thing. I know where God is. But sometimes it's like the weight of everything, and you're like, it's almost like I know that God can take this weight that I'm feeling from all of this stuff going on and all of this distress and anguish and toil and all this stuff that's going on inside of me. And let me just tell you how good God is. I tell you that to tell you this, that it was like the next day, I believe, we were at a certain location, and we went for one reason. And then when we left, I told her, I said, we were there for that reason, but we were also there for another reason. God had a different reason. And we got in a conversation with a pastor we've never met. He's actually texted me a few times just to encourage, but I never met him in person. And he was there. He's about 2 hours away. We're at the same place at the same time. And he starts talking about all of the miracles that they've been seeing and how God has been like so faithful. And man, it's like, you know, we just pray for somebody and it's like spots are just going away, and like we're seeing miraculous things happen. And as I'm having this conversation, and we were there for I don't know how long we were there, we were standing there for at least an hour, probably longer than that, and we walked away from that, and I told her, I said, that was a God moment. That was God saying, I see you, and I know how you're feeling right now, and I'm going to put you in line with this person that I've been doing this through them, and I'm going to connect you with them so that you can be reminded that I'm faithful and that I'm good and I'm still more than able and this. And by the grace of God, I really do believe that by the grace of God, we're going to see my dad healed. He's already said that once he receives his healing, that he's going to travel around and talk to everybody about healing and how God can do it. And I'm like, yep, you come on. So we're going to see it happen. I believe it. But in the midst of it, it can feel heavy. And it can feel weighty. And this is going on inside of us. And sometimes we ask God, where are you at in the middle of my pain? And I love the story of Joseph in the Bible, Genesis 37 through 50. I would encourage you to go read that. And I know you've probably read it before, or you've at least heard about it, but go read the whole story. Joseph, he's been thrown in a pit. He's been sold into slavery. He's been purchased by Potiphar. He gets thrown in prison for something he didn't do. All this stuff is happening to Joseph, and there's a verse that is such a great reminder for us today. It's Genesis 39:2. It's toward the beginning of the story, but it simply says this at the beginning of that verse. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. But he's been thrown into a pit, and the Lord was with Joseph. Well, he was sold into slavery, and the Lord was with Joseph. Well, he was purchased by Potiphar, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was accused of something that he didn't do and thrown in prison, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he asked two guys, please don't forget me whenever you get out of here, because I just interpreted this dream, and the Lord was with Joseph even after they forgot him. The Lord was with Joseph. So where was God when he was in the pit? He was with him. Where was God when he was sold into slavery? He was with him. When he was in Potiphar's home, he was with him. When he was thrown in prison, he was with him. And where is God when you're in a struggle or in sorrow or in anguish or in suffering or distress or pain? Can I just tell you today, he's with you.
Amen. That's right.
He's with you right now. And it doesn't even, sometimes we want to feel like God is with us. And I think we can feel like God is with us. But there's just the simple truth that even when I don't feel it, God's with me. And even when I'm questioning sometimes, God's with me. God's with me. Whatever you're walking through right now, you're struggling in your marriage, God is with you. If you're trying to overcome an addiction, God is with you. If you're walking through some kind of disease or illness or sickness, God is with you. If you're struggling with what to do or what decision to make, God is with you. If you're dealing with the hardest thing that you've ever been through in your entire life, God is with you. Where is God when I'm going through pain? He's right there with me. He's walking right there with me. We could even say this, where is God? How do I know that God is with me? You're still here. You've been walking through some hard stuff, you're still here. That's God. God is with you. God is with you. Where is God when I'm experiencing pain in my life? He's with me. He's with me. Worship team, you can come back and help me. And then here's the last question that I want to talk about today is, what do I do with my pain? So what causes pain? We've talked a little bit about what causes pain. Where is God in my pain? He's with us. He's with us in it. So what do I do with my pain? Well, this, I want to do this a little bit differently. But I think the best thing that we can do with our pain is to give it to the Lord. Because many of us are carrying around pain and toil and the things that have happened to us and unforgiveness and bitterness and all of these things in our lives. And the invitation to you today is to give that to the Lord. And I had this picture, and I've used this before, and so if you've heard this before, then you'll hear it again. But this is for somebody today. It's like if you go to the gym and you pick up the heaviest dumbbells that you can get, and you're just walking around with them. And you're okay for a little bit, and then after about 10 minutes, you're starting to feel it, and now your shoulders are burning. And now your arms feel and like you don't feel like you have any grip left. And we're carrying around something that we were not designed to carry. But there is a rack. And we're walking around thinking, I don't know, what do I do with this? Like, what do I do with this? Can we just say it this way? You need to rack it. And you serve a God who sees right where you are and knows how you feel. He says, you know that you've been carrying around today? Why don't you give it to me and let me hold it? Because I can hold it, but you can't hold it. And this is a word for somebody, and you know you can't hold it. Because you've been trying to hold it. And you've been processing it, and you've been thinking it through, and you've been wondering, what if? What if? What if? And today, the Lord's invitation to you is, hey, just give it to me. Give it to me. So here's how I want to end at this last point, is I just want to read some verses over you. Just want to read some verses over you. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but God's word is way more powerful than mine. We should do this one Sunday where I just get up here and just read the Bible to you and see what God does. Don't give you any thoughts, don't give you any opinions, don't give you anything. We'll just read the Bible and we'll see what happens. Because God's word is powerful. So I just want to read some verses over you. It only take a couple minutes. And then we're going to have an opportunity to pray and worship together. But Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. And surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. Psalm 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love. For you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. Psalm 34:17-18, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 69:16. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. Isn't that encouraging that God's character, his unfailing love and his mercy? It's like, I wrote it down this way, it's like medicine for our pain. To be reminded of how God has unfailing love. And as this is, his mercy is so plentiful. It's like medicine for what we're going through. Psalm 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. 1 Peter 5:7 is very similar. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Here's one for somebody, James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. 1 Peter 5:10, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus.
So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Come on, that's encouraging to know that even with what I'm walking through, even with what I've been through, even with where I'm at right now, that God is able to support me, God is able to restore, God is able to strengthen, God is able to place me on a firm foundation. Will you stand today? Here in just a moment, we're going to pray. In fact, the prayer team, you guys can go ahead and come down and get ready. I just really felt, I just couldn't shake this topic of processing pain. And as soon as I was reading that, it was like the Lord said, that's what somebody needs right there. And so if it's for one person today, one person, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. And here's how I want to, before we pray, I just want to encourage you with a few things, just very practical, very practical. And I know this sounds so simple, and for some of us it seems so hard to do, but it's so simple. But can I just encourage you with these things? Here it is. If you know you need to forgive someone, forgive them. Forgive them. You've been carrying around unforgiveness long enough. And today, I'm just telling you, today I feel like the Lord wants to set you free. And so I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if it's a conversation. I don't know if it's in your heart. I don't know if you need to make a call. I don't know what you need to do. That's between you and the Lord. But if you know that's for you and you have unforgiveness in your heart and you know the Lord is leading you right now and you know, you're like, I know this is what's causing this in my life. This is what's causing the unsettledness. This is what's causing the pain. This is what's causing the anguish. This, like, I've been holding on to this long enough and I need to be free from this. If you need to forgive somebody, forgive them. If you need to confess a sin in your life, confess it. Confess it. If there's something in your life that has been causing toil and struggle and suffering and all, like on the inside of you, and you know, I don't feel at peace, I don't feel at rest, I don't feel like anything in my life is right, I'm talking to you right now. If there's something in your life that you need to confess, confess it. If you know you're struggling to resist the enemy in your life, you're struggling to resist temptation, and you don't want to keep going back, but you have a tendency to keep going back, get some people around you who can help you. Get some people around you who can help you. This is why right now we're in the middle of a semester of grow groups. We do grow groups, small groups here. This is why this semester we began a brand new thing called Freedom Groups. It's to walk through some of these things in our lives that we know. I would say it this way, that you know if that thing was not in my life would be better. What is that thing? If that thing, you got it right now in your mind, you know it. If that thing was not in my life right now, my life would be better. And if you're struggling with that, get some people around you who can help you. And if you're going through a difficult time in your life right now, I just want to encourage you with this. Remember that God is with you and that He is more than able. He is more than able. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want to pray for you, but I want to give you an invitation. If you're here today, and we do this at the end of every service when the worship team begins to sing, just a moment. If you need prayer for anything in your life, you know that this hit you, and you need prayer for anything, or it could be nothing that we talked about today, you're invited to come down for prayer during this last worship song. We would love to pray for you, but I want to ask you this question. If you would be honest today, I think there's something so powerful about responding. So if you're in the room today and you know this message was for me, I need to forgive, or I need to confess, or there's something in my life. I know this is for me. I'm struggling right now. I'm dealing with something right now, and this was for me, and I need to give this to the Lord today. Will you just lift your hand right where you are? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, now all the rest of us, let's all lift our hands to the Lord today. God, we thank you. We thank you that You've not called us to carry these things around. And we thank you that you are good and you are faithful and you are trustworthy and more than able. So Lord, right now I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I really feel that there's someone in this room that you've been beating yourself up. Maybe it's a habitual sin, but I feel like there's even someone, it's not even just habitual sin, there's also someone in here just because of who you are and who you think you should be or what you should be doing, kind of like Jamie mentioned earlier, that almost like you feel like the Lord puts up with you. And that's not how he feels at all. And I kept getting this visual of someone literally taking a whip and literally hitting yourself. And it was like the Lord said, I took those whips for you. Put it down. God does not want us living in sin, but he's not berating you. He's lovingly waiting for you to bring your sin, your struggle, and lay it at his feet. And I want to read this scripture over you. As Pastor Gabe shared this message in the first service, I just felt so strongly this was, that we need to be reminded of this. And whether you're in the middle, because maybe you're that person in the room that you're like, I'm struggling with this sin and I'm afraid of the ramifications of it, and so you're afraid of what's in the middle. Maybe you're someone that, like our family right now, we're believing for a miracle and we're in the middle. I want to tell you that there's not one person on this prayer team, on this worship team that stand before you, that have not been in the middle. And we stand here today, testaments of being in the middle, but seeing God's faithfulness. That the enemy may try to take you down, take you out, but God is going to have the final say. And each person here, whether standing here still waiting for their miracle, or they've seen God's faithfulness, even waiting for the miracle, God is faithful. And I just want to read this to you. John 11, verse 21. This is when Lazarus had passed. And Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And I just believe that just as he shared just a few minutes ago, that even in our moments where we said, where are you, God? When we were willing to be honest and say that, God was so faithful to show us where he was and where he is, because he is there. But I want to show to you just real quick in chapter 12. Martha, she was in the middle of grieving and seeing that her brother was dead. But if you know the Bible at all, if you've heard the story, Lazarus was raised to life. And in chapter 12, this is where Mary, she had put oil at Jesus' feet. But something that was just, I've seen in the last little while. Chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Come on, you cannot see how God is working in the middle. Martha had no idea that in one moment she was crying and grieving her brother's death, that she would one day be serving at a table not too long after where he would be reclining, laughing, talking. So whatever you're waiting on, be it a physical healing or a need of reviving in your marriage or in your own life, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it may be, you can't see God is working in the middle. And just like Martha, what she couldn't see was coming, God was faithful to keep working. And even when things don't turn out the way that we think that they should, we can keep believing because God is faithful no matter what. God, we thank you for who you are today. God, I thank you for those in the room. We've all been there where we're struggling with sin in our lives. God, I pray right now for each and every person. even as they may have felt uncomfortable, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help them see that confessing their sins doesn't bring shame. It's the enemy that wants them hiding in fear so that they'll stay bound. But we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that desires life and life abundantly. I thank you and I praise you for each and every person under the sound of my voice that may be in need of physical healing today. And I just declare right now that you are a miracle working God, and that you are the same great physician back then that did miracles that you are today. And I declare healing right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for those that are fighting mentally right now, Father, spiritually, emotionally. God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that they will, God, they will see that they are more than an overcomer, that they will walk in victory in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those under the sound of my voice that have taken steps of faith, Father, and they're in the middle. That just like Martha, it wasn't even Martha's was a bad thing, but there's some people in this room, it's not a bad thing that they did, Father, but that they've just taken a step of faith. And I thank you, Lord, God, that in the middle, they'll trust you and they'll see that you are working. God, I pray, Lord, that you touch each and every person's heart. May we not sit idly by and let this moment pass, but choose that today is a new day and we will not walk out of here the same. We thank you. Maybe for those that feel like that the Lord is mad at them, that they be reminded today that, Lord, you are not mad. You are madly in love with them and you desire to love on them today. And wrap your arms around them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come on, if you need to respond, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every person today who needs prayer. In Jesus' name.